All right.
Well, I hope that everything is on here. You'll have to let me know in a few minutes if you can see the video. And we're early, so we're not going to start right away. I'm just giving people some time to get on here. So anyway, I'll take these headphones off because I don't need to listen to them myself. Anyway, but we'll see what happens here in the next few minutes. There's an echo, he said. I don't know what that would be. Oh. No, that's not on. Let me check with Luke and ask him. I'll check with Luke and find out why it's echoing. I have no idea. Yeah, I'm not sure what that would be. Is it still echoing like that?
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache. Here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always up.
Smile.
But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. This weary world, with all its toil and struggle, may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home.
Okay, I'm trying to fix this right now, so we're looking into it to figure out what the echo's coming from and all that good stuff. So hang on.
Thank you.
Oh, let's see here. All right, let's try it now and see if we're still echoing here. Looks like Luke just did a few things, so let's just see. Wait a second here and find out. So we just tried to see how we're doing here. I know there's a delay in this, so bear with me here, but we're not starting until 2 anyway. I just come on a little bit early just to get everything set up to make sure everything's working okay. All that good stuff. So I'm finding out from him how that's going. We'll see if it's working all right. Still an echo. All right. Well, we're trying to fix it. Just bear with me here. We'll get it fixed. I'm going to tell you what, I can imagine the devil not wanting this to go out, because these stinking charismatics, man, they don't. The devil doesn't like this stuff. This story told about all this, so I can imagine some opposition for sure. We'll get it fixed. Just hang on. Nope, I'm not trying to do any effects. We'll get it fixed.
All right, let's try it now here. You can let me know if there's an echo on here as we get started here today, or try to get started, attempt to get started here. You'll have to let me know if there's an echo here. I'm looking in on Luke, the Technological Wonders chat here with me to find out if there's anything on here that I need to worry about or if it's fixed yet. We'll find out in a second. I'm sure you'll let me know here. All right, he thinks it's good. All good now. Becca says it's all good. All right. No echo. All good now. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got it. Whoa, what happened? Everything went blank. Whoa, is everybody still here? I have no idea what just happened. No idea what just happened. I just went blank here for a second, so my whole screen and everything just kind of knocked out on me. I apologize for that. It sounds like you guys are all still there. But, wow, that was weird. I don't know. I got locked out of everything. So just like everything just went, pew. Hello. Don't know what happened there. Don't have a clue. It just flashed a bunch of screens at me and all that good stuff. But we're back here and we're about to be ready to go here with our teaching today. And glad to see everybody's on here. Well, we've got 42 on here. Hopefully we get that up to our normal 70 to 80 people that we like to see on here. There's 18 likes. Let's get that up to 40 if we could. And all that good stuff. Well, it was Luke was working remotely on the computer system here, on my big system here. Anyway, so that's fixed now, and I'm back with you here. As I could see anyway, I couldn't see you, but apparently you could all see me, which was fine. But Samuel Hall, good to have you on here. Let's see. But we are about to talk about one spooky dude. All right? And his name is William Branham. All right? William Branham, Branham, doesn't matter. Either way. But anyway, we're getting ready to talk about this fella, and I think it's important that you understand who this guy is. You're going to see a video of him. He didn't believe that Jesus was God. He kind of had a weird doctrine between oneness, which he claimed he didn't believe, and he hated the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the Godhead, that he didn't believe in that, and he hated the Trinitarian position, so to speak, which is fundamental Christianity, by the way, down through the centuries. has been, always, fundamental Christianity. Well, then he, you know, this guy was a real devil. And I'm going to show you his video of his live stuff back in the 40s and 50s. Videos of him. And what he taught. This is where you start. I mean, this guy, I'm going to make no bones about it. I'm going to tell you that this guy had devils. I'm going to tell you that this guy was possessed with a familiar spirit. So I want to start with scripture here before we get started. Okay? I'm getting a new keyboard. Okay? Just so you know. I don't know why that's doing that, but it's coming soon. Okay. Now, I want to know if everybody's ready. Thomas Havis, I think you sent me an email. Thomas Havis, I think I got one from you. Listen, I want everybody to turn to Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 31. Because we're going to start with scripture here. And I want you to understand what's going on here. Now, let me ask you a question. Pastor Hoggard did this on one of his teachings, and I agree with it, and that's why I'm going to ask you the same question in dealing with the same things. Because his question was accurate. How many times does a false prophet have to be wrong before I no longer listen to them? Once. Only once. Right? Only once. But this goes beyond that. We'll start with this. Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20, verse number 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Verse number 27. A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. So God in the Old Testament, in Israel, he commanded that they should not live in Israel, that they would die. Now let's turn to Deuteronomy 18:11, the re-giving of the law. It says here, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination. Divination. All right. Spirit of divination, Aaron. Remember that? Spirit of divination. Anyway, we've heard that phrase before. Anyway, so a little inside secret for me and Aaron. Inside, not so much a joke. Anyway, now I want to read you this, the divination. The act of divining, foretelling of future events, or discovering things secret or obscure by the aid of superior beings or by other than human means. The ancient heathen philosophers divided divination into two kinds, the natural and artificial. Natural divination was supposed to be effected by a kind of inspiration or divine afflatus. Artificial divination was effected by certain in rites, experiments, or observations, by sacrifices, cakes, flowers, wine, observation of entrails. Right? Okay? Are you following me so far? Are you with me? Right, I'm not done. I haven't even started yet, but I'm going to prove all this. Prove all things. Well, I'm going to. by the grace of God. All right, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. That's right, Joshua, look it in the liver. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you this video in a little while. Now, the video clarity is not that good, but it doesn't matter. You just listen, okay? But I'm going to show you this video in a minute, but I'm going to read you about this man first and what God said about it. And I showed you what the Bible says. Now, I have a lot. I'm quickly gaining more enemies. I am gaining more enemies by this teaching. I have people now that are very upset with me, and because I'm exposing these things, I'm dealing with these things. You know, it's been my experience that some of the biggest plagues on Baptist churches or old-fashioned churches that hold to the Bible, some of the biggest plagues on them, without a doubt, have been charismatics or closet charismatics. They never quite shake that spirit. They never quite shake that spirit that takes them over when they're in those charismatic churches, and they come to other churches and they spread that infection and that doctrine and that spirit to other churches. That's exactly what they do. Now listen, I'm telling you this because I have experienced it. I have had men in this church, I've had women in this church that have been closet charismatics. And I have dealt with them. I have been bruised by them. I have been lied about by them. I have been attacked by them. I have had these people come in and say their testimonies have been the strangest testimonies that you have ever heard in your life, and they have done their dead level best to infiltrate this church. So I know what I'm talking about. I've dealt with it before, and you'd be shocked at how close to the truth some of these people are, but they end up having that charismatic. In the end, it's a veiled one, but they have that charismatic spirit, and it rises up, and they absolutely hate biblical authority. And by the way, they hate old-fashioned Baptists, too. They hate them. They hate them. They hate Baptist history, too. Boy, they don't want nothing to do with that. Why? Because when you tell that history, that trail of blood history, you start telling the truth, then you see the real workings of the Spirit of God through people and the real working of the Spirit, which brings me to a point before I get to my major points here today. I believe the Lord is leading me to preach on something this Sunday. And if I do, I'll put it online. Not live. I don't do live services anymore. I do this live for you 3 times a week. But I don't do live services. But listen, here's the thing. I want to preach on the false anointing of the charismatic Pentecostal churches. And I'm going to show what that spirit is. And I'm going to show what it does. And that spirit hates the true power of God. They try to accuse us of blaspheming the Holy Ghost when they're actually blaspheming the Holy Ghost by their false satanic anointings. That's what they're doing. Absolutely. So, I'm going to show you some things here. About, I'm going to tell you about some things that William brought him. Then I'm going to show you, and then we're going to compare it to Scripture. And we're going to see it. You're going to see it, and you're going to hear it. And the Lord help you to have a discerning spirit in these end times. Let me say something to you. Charles Spurgeon said this a long time ago. He said something to the effect of the fact that if it is not hard to discern between the absolute false and the absolute true. It is harder to discern, or it takes sharper skills to be able to discern between the almost true, close to being true. Right? It's that which is close. The counterfeit bills are harder to figure out. They're harder to discern whether they're right or not. That's why our senses have to be exercised. Our consciousness have to be exercised to know between good and evil. All right. So we're going to start, and I'm going to read you some things out of this book. But not just one source. I'm going to give you multiple sources, and then I'm going to show you the man that was doing all this stuff. So when I give you the background, I almost want to show the part of the video, stop it, read, but I think you'll get the point. When I start to read, I'm not going to read it all the way through because I'm going to have to stop and show you the action of it. All right? There was an explosion of Pentecostal healing crusades in the 1940s and 50s, and one of the biggest names in the movement was William Branham, a Baptist turned Jesus-only Pentecostal. He conducted healing crusades throughout the world and was one of the fathers of the modern healing movement. The Dictionary of Pentecostal and Charismatic Movement says, the person universally acknowledged as the revival's father and pace setter was William Branham. The sudden appearance of his miraculous healing campaigns in 1946 set off a spiritual explosion in the Pentecostal movement, which was to move to Main Street. Right? Branham claimed that beginning at the age of 3, he heard a voice that gave him spiritual guidance. Okay? So he's saying at 3 years old, this voice is guiding him. He believed he was the end times messenger to the Laodicean church age, and he proclaimed himself the angel of Revelation 3:14 and Revelation 10:7 and the Elijah of Malachi chapter 4. So he's claiming that he had the spirit of these men, okay? He's claiming that he had the spirit of these men. Branham halted from one unscriptural view to another. He adopted oneness or Jesus-only theology and denied the Trinity, saying Trinitarianism is of the devil. I tell you that, thus saith the Lord. This is him quoting it. This is Branham saying this. Trinitarianism is of the devil. I tell you that, thus saith the Lord. Footprints of the Sand of Time, the Autobiography of William Marion Branham, Part 2, Jeffersonville, Indiana, Spoken Word Publications, 1975, page 606-7. But I'm going to show you some quotes that are better than that. I'm going to show you some of them. He held, now listen, here's where the heresies come in. Now, these are not just differences. Oh, you have a difference as far as election or as far as predestination or where the personal responsibility of man and the sovereignty of God comes in. Or you have a difference of something of that nature. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about out-and-out heresies. We're talking about out-and-out paganism or Gnosticism, which is led by the spirit that this man had. Now, I'm going to show you what spirit he had. And then when I show you on here, you're going to know that dude was a witch. He dealt with a familiar spirit. He held that the nature of Eve's sin was a sexual relationship with the serpent, and that Cain was the product of the relationship. Now, let's stop there for a second, because what he's really teaching is what? He's trying to teach sons of God, daughters of men. He's trying to teach that and enter that into his theology. Not as Satan, as the fallen sons of God, but mingling the seed together of Eve with Satan. That's what he's trying to teach, the satanic seed doctrine. Here is what actually happened, he said, in the Garden of Eden. The word says that Eve was beguiled by the serpent. She was actually seduced by the serpent. He was as close to being a human as that his seed could, and did mingle it with that of the woman and cause her to conceive. Branham, The Original Sin, page 2 and 3. Now, let me stop here and tell you what this is. It's heresy. God never said that. In Genesis chapter 3, he never said the seeds were mingled. He never said that at all. He never said that Satan impregnated Eve. He never once said that anywhere in Scripture, nor alluded to that. Adam is the one that knew his wife, and she conceived. It says nothing about Satan doing that. And I'll tell you another thing it does. It blames devils for man's sin. And you'll see all the time that these guys, when you deal with them in this video, you're going to see he's going to deal with the demon of this and the demon of that. And everybody's possessed. And that's why they have a problem. I'm going to tell you something. No, you got depravity. Half the people running around today in these charismatic churches, and I've had them in Baptist churches. And you know what? You can get easily caught up in that, where you start seeing the devil under every door and you start thinking everybody's possessed because they got human depravity and human problems, and there must be some devil involved with it. Well, I'm not saying devils don't shoot fiery arrows. I'm not saying they don't afflict people, but I'm telling you, they're making it like everybody's possessed, and that's the reason you have that problem. No, it's not. Your own depravity. Own your own sin. Own your own wickedness before God. That's what it is. God didn't tell Cain that he was possessed. He said, "Sin lieth at the door." It's sin. Again, I'm not saying the devil doesn't afflict the saints of God. I preach about it all the time. I know what he does. He does it to me all the time. But if we openly sin, that's our fault. And not everything's a devil. The devil of this or the devil of that. It does shift the blame off of man and blames it on the devil. He taught that the mark of the beast is denominationalism, and that God is establishing a restored end times apostolic church from the corruption of denominationalism. Branham called the restoration period God's seventh church age. See that? Way off. Way off. Not even close to Bible doctrine. Branham taught that the word of God was given in three forms. He said it was given in the zodiac. He said it was given in the Egyptian pyramids and the written scripture. Al Dager, Vengeance is Ours, page 59. See that? Said it was given in all those places. No. The pyramids don't preach the gospel. I've never really looked at the zodiac issue before as far as that goes, or the gospel and the stars. I've heard preachers preach on it years gone by. I don't know if they meant the same thing that Branham meant, though, because he was a devil-possessed weirdo. Branham predicted that by 1977, all denominations would be consumed by the World Council of Churches under the control of Rome, and the rapture and the end of the world would take place. That was the Dictionary of Pentecostal and Charismatic Movements, first edition, page 96. Though he said that he could be wrong about that, he went on to say, at least this great nation is going to strike a war that's going to blow it up, blow it to bits. Branham, the Laodicean Church Age, December 11th, 1960, Jefferson, Indiana, audio tape. Of course, the 1970s are long past, and America has yet to enter a war that has blown it up to bits. Yeah. So, here's what I will tell you. Yeah, I think there's a difference in people examining, like, the zodiac and things like that versus, like, the stars in general. I don't know. I honestly, I've not looked into it much, but I don't put a lot of stock in that. The Bible does say creation, God's handiwork is God's handiwork, and it beareth witness to him, and we can see that in all kinds of things. But I don't believe in some weird foretelling or fortune telling in the stars and all of those things that these people do. Look, we got enough to handle in the Word of God before we ever go through all these extra biblical things that people try to add, and that we know that witches and necromancers and people like that have used. So it's just ridiculous. Anyway, let's see. Branham operated a gift of soothsaying, reading personal details of the lives of people, strangers, and of people attending his meetings. He would name their names and describe past events and secret sins. This gift did much to further the growing Branham legend. Harrell, All Things Are Possible, page 38. Now listen. I'm going to show you the difference here. Yeah, the zodiac is the where the Asians use that. The Chinese use that. And others use that. And they have like the dragon and all that other stuff is used. Eastern mysticism, astrology, wicked stuff. There's a difference in that and yeah, that's right. Astronomy. There's a big difference in that. So it's sad. But these are the things that happened in the end times when the rise of Eastern mysticism, which happened, by the way, in that greatly weird occultic time of the 1850s, when the new modern versions were starting to come out and the occult unveiling took place. Isis unveiled. Started taking place, right? And we see the spiritism rise in that time period. And that's when we started seeing all these weird stuff with people hanging out in pyramids and all that stuff. Now, Branham operated gift of soothsaying, right? Branham claimed to have a personal angel. Now, listen to this. I'm going to show you this. I got to put my handy-dandy headphones on here because I'm going to read this to you. And then I'm going to play this video, and then we're going to go back to this and go back and forth, kind of. But I'm going to show you some things. Branham claimed to have a personal angel that directed every aspect of his life and ministry, and he gave credit to this angel for the power he exercised. The angel spoke to William Branham, saying, "Fear not. I am sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you that your particular life and your misunderstood ways have been to indicate that God has sent you to take a gift of divine healing to the people of the world. If you will be sincere and can get the people to believe you, nothing shall stand before your prayer. Not even cancer." Harrell, All Things Are Possible, page 28. Branham described, now listen. Branham described the angel as a well-built man with dark hair, folded arms. The angel supposedly stood next to Branham, and what the angel said, he had to obey. One evening, just before a meeting, Branham told his interpreter, "Don't stand to the right of me because my angel stands there." Branham said that the angel was with him day and night, and without him he had no authority in his preaching. In fact, he could not even make his own decisions in his private life. Branham was always told by the angel who to heal and who not to heal. Once an interpreter asked Branham, "Do you think your power to heal people comes from the Holy Spirit?" Branham replied, "No, my angel does it." Carl Deke, William Branham, The Man and His Message, Saskatoon, Western Tract Mission, 1984, page 16. Branham claimed that the angel taught him how to detect diseases by vibrations on his left hand. When the afflicting spirit comes into contact with the gift, it sets up such a physical commotion that it becomes visible on Brother Branham's hand, and so real that it will stop his wristwatch instantly. This feels to Brother Branham like taking hold of a live wire with too much electric current in it. F.F. Bosworth, Gifts of Healing Plus, The Voice of Healing, March 1950. Page 10 to 11. May I remind you, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. When does the Bible tell us to consult with angels over the written word of God? When? I mean, he's visibly seeing this. Wait till I read. I haven't even started yet. I'm going to show you this video, and then I'm going to read you more. And then we're going to get into an interview that David Cloud did with a man that traveled with Branham that had to admit the truth about him. All right, here we go.
You've had a great crash of some sort. It's
yes.
An accident.
Yes, yes.
And you,
yes.
It was a car wreck.
Yes.
And you were thrown in the air,
yes.
Like that.
Yes.
And it strained you in somewhere in your neck,
yes.
And it's caused a cancer,
yes.
To come into your neck. Or, and you're some sort of a teach in the scripture. And you believe that Jesus Christ makes you well?
I do.
Father God, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, on the authority of God's word by a dying woman, I ask this evil thing to leave her. Satan, you are exposed. So come out of the woman as the Church of the Living God calls for you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, sister, just a moment. I just want to talk to you. Of course, you know it's gone now.
Oh, yes.
It'll stay that way. See how your throat left?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Praise the
it's
Lord.
It's all gone from her. The garter has left her throat. And she, God bless you. Go on your road now and be thankful, happy, and rejoice. And be,
Okay, now, I want you to think about this for a second, okay? So, this angel that is with him... Now, either this is all false, these are actors, or this angel, this fallen angel, or this devil, is giving him this information. I don't know. Either way, it's not of the Lord.
Of course, you're sick. And you're suffering with a condition. It's a dark spirit around you. It's death. And it's in a form of cancer. And the cancer is located on the breast. And you're seeing you're examined by someone strong. And it's you got a ruptured condition. And the rupture is in the bowels. And you have a stomach trouble also. A severe heart trouble. It causes you fainty here a few days ago, you're sitting sideways on the side of a bed and nearly passed out looking towards your window. Are those things the truth?
Yes, it's that all true.
All true. Well, whatever it was, of course, it's gone from me. But what do you think that was that knows your life? Was it Jesus Christ? You accepted to be that?
Yes.
Thank you.
And I believe.
You're willing, you know that something supernatural is here.
Yes.
And if you believe it to be the Lord Jesus, as I have preached it out of the Word, and you believe it to be the Lord Jesus.
Yes, I do.
I know there's a dark spirit of fear hanging at you yet. It's something very serious. Say, I see you. Your name is Eva.
Yes.
And your last name is York.
Yes.
And you live in this city.
Yes, I do.
And your house number is 613 6th Street.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
You're going home to be well.
Oh,
in the name
you.
Of Jesus Christ, may you go and be made well. God bless you. Don't die.
Okay, so I want you to understand something also about familiar spirits. Now, if this man, which I'm going to give you more testimony, if this man has a familiar spirit, which he does, he testified to having, and others, which we'll get to, testified. Now listen, familiar spirits could know all of this stuff about this woman. They could know that this woman lives on a certain street. They could know that she is suffering from something, because devils can watch us and do watch us. All right? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are devils that roam around and they watch us. And these people have familiars. They're familiar with your life. They're familiar with what's going on. They're familiar with everything. Right? They're familiar with it, and they could give this man that information. All right? That's possible. Right? Just like when Saul went with the lady with the familiar spirit, he sought her out. That familiar spirit was able to say things that that lady would not know about Saul. But she knew them because the devil had told her these things. And that devil was masquerading as Samuel, but it was not Samuel. All right?
Just go rejoice in heaven. You believe with all your heart? You do? Now you're just a bit excited because of the presence of his being standing here.
Did you hear that? You're just a bit excited because of the presence of his being standing here. Who? You can call him Jesus. The Bible says that there is another Jesus. There shall arise false Christ. Okay? For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. What's he saying? Because of his being is here. See what he's saying? He's saying that the presence of God was there.
And I believe you're from out of town.
Yes, sir. You come from a capital too, Richmond,
yep.
Virginia. You have a cancer. It's in your inside of your mouth, on your jaw. Is that right? You want to go home and be well?
That's right.
Accept Jesus as your healer. And in the name of Jesus Christ, may it leave the man. Go away from him. Amen. God bless you, sir. Go believing, having faith with all. What do you say? I know now that seeing you, you're becoming a young-looking person. Much younger than what you are in my presence. You are suffering with some sort of a headache. And it's come many years ago, about 25 years ago, your headache started. And it's been bothering you ever since. You have been a great believer, and you have prayed for this hour that's standing here now. You've said in prayer to God that if you could only get to me, that if I would pray that your headaches would cease. Those things true?
Everything.
That is true. Now, you heard what said that. That wasn't me. That was just my voice. Was those ever what it was? Is something I remember seeing a young person or something. Was it just the way it was said there?
Just
the way it was said. Now, you believe that God did it? You believe God did it?
Now, I'm
sure. You're sure that God is here. Just a moment. I see something else.
You're sure that God is here. Well, why wouldn't he be? If you're a child of God and if you were preaching the word of God, then you would know that he was there. This is a false spirit. He's talking to these people and he's getting them to accept a false spirit. He's getting them to accept something very wicked. It's the same spirit. He's getting them to accept the same spirit that he has, that's afflicted him. And it's going to do more damage to them. And I'm going to prove that to you.
A young woman seems to be standing near you. It's a daughter. And yes, you was just fixing to go on a trip somewhere. You were going to see her. And she's from Indiana. Richmond, Indiana is where she lives. And her husband is a minister. And she has wrote you a letter, something telling you not to come because I was coming here. Is that right? You're healed. You can go on. God bless you. How do you do, lady? Do you believe me to be God's prophet? A prophet is a preacher. You don't expect me to be of the enemy. You expect me to be of God. Is that the way you accept it? Well, then I can help you.
Wow. So you don't expect me to be of the enemy. You see that? You don't expect me to be of the enemy. You believe I'm of God. Why would you have to talk people into that? Isn't that strange?
Or he told me if I would get the people to believe me and be sincere when I prayed, that nothing would stand before the prayer. And now it isn't I that helps, it's God that does the healing. I said, they won't believe me. He said, there'll be two signs given to you, as was to the prophet Moses. In this the people will believe. And one of them was to reveal the secrets of the hearts of the people to them. Now, you're not here for yourself, although you're nervous and run down, but it's been caused by a disease of this child. This child here is suffering. It's been turned down by the doctors to die. It's leukemia. Isn't that right? You've brought the child from out of town. You've traveled, coming from the west, coming east you have come. You've come from a state that has mountains. It's Pennsylvania. And your city, I believe, is Chambersburg. Isn't that right? Bring the child to me. Little sister dear, the Lord Jesus was here, he'd lay his hands upon you, and death would leave you and you'd live. Do you believe that I am his servant? Then in his stead, I lay my hands on this child and bless it and ask that the demon leave the child and that life comes to the child and it will live and be well. Come out of the child, Satan, by the authority of God's Bible with the divine gift minister.
Okay, let me stop there. So this lady has, this little girl is supposed to have leukemia, but it means she has a devil in her, and that's why she has leukemia, because there's a devil in her. So she's possessed, and that's why she has leukemia. And he's going to cast the devil of leukemia out of her. You see what I mean? So if people are sick, like Titus was sick, right? Timothy was sick, right? Let's see. Let me look up this here real quick. Paul told him, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. So I'm missing something here. Where's the verse where Paul says, and I command the demon that is in thy belly to come out of thy belly. Demons of water, come out of thy belly. I didn't see Paul do that. I didn't read that. Did you miss that? Did you miss that?
Hmm. By an angel, I adjure thee to leave the child. Come from me.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You believe you're going to get well now. God bless you. Turn around, wave to the audience. And God bless you. The little girl with tremendous faith, be well. God bless you, honey. Go, you write me a letter. Do you believe me as his prophet, as his servant? Do you believe that God is near in his spirit, and this which is now being done is of the Lord Jesus, not me?
See, he's getting them to believe him. He's getting them to believe him over God's word. And they are giving themselves over to him. They are trusting him. You see that?
I'm a man. Yeah. If God will let me know what's wrong with you as a vindication, I am his prophet standing here revealing the truth. As he said to the woman, go get your husband. She said, I have none. He said, you have five. She said, I see your prophet. See, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now that same spirit that was on that Son of God, he promised to send it back in the form of the Holy Ghost that would be with us and dwell with us to the end of the world. You believe it? If he can know your troubles now, can he? You got heart trouble. Is that right? Every person with heart trouble, stand to your feet. You can be healed right now, no matter what.
Okay, watch this. Every person with heart trouble, just stand to your feet. It's so ridiculous.
What it is of the heart trouble. Lord God, thou knowest our strength and how feeble we are and how weak. But Lord, we know how strong you are. And heart trouble is something our doctors cannot do anything by. But Lord, who made the heart? You did. And I now rebuke this demon power that's holding these people with heart trouble. May he come out of every one of them in the name.
Okay, so every blood-bought saint of God who has some heart trouble has a demon of heart attack in them that's making their heart pump bad. Look, it doesn't have anything to do with eating fast food three meals a day. It does have anything to do with, genetics. It does have anything to do... Nope, it's the demon of heart problems. The demon of heart problems.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, sister. I just want to say something to you. You feel different now than you felt in a long time, haven't you? I told the people know...
By the way, now some of this is like this euphoric, not euphoric, that's the wrong word. When our endorphins kick in and Joshua would know the exact terms of this, but when we're all pumped up and jacked up and excited and we don't feel pain. It's kind of like a woman that has a baby at some point while she's having a baby. Everything is moving in her body, so she's not hurting because she's psyched up and ready to live. Not hurting is bad, I should say. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. I'm saying they're moving and their body is all pumped up, right? So a lot of this is a physical, psychological effect that they feel like they're healed. They feel like they are, and then they walk away, and then that goes down. And that's a natural thing. It's kind of like, different things that give you that, and I can't think of the name of it right now, but it pumps you up. It's kind of like if you watch pornography and other things like that, it gives your system, it puts your system into adrenaline and endorphins. Yes, that's what I want to say. It puts your system in that, and then you can't feel pain. Okay, it's like if somebody's hurting one of your children or something bad is happening, and you run out to take care of it, you don't feel the pain of that dog biting you because you're trying to save your children's life, right? You don't feel, you're so hyped up, your endorphins have kicked in so much that you don't care about any of that. You're going to save your kid's life. And then after the shock wears off and you come down, then things come back to normal. Like Elijah on the mountain when God destroyed all the prophets of Baal and he ran off that mountain after he was done and he came down, he was hurting.
It was a real dark spirit. You had bad stuff when you lay down.
That's
that,
right.
And now it's gone from you.
Right.
You're healed. You are. All right. How do you do, sir? All right, us being strangers one to another, but the Lord Jesus knows us both. Is that right? God of heaven, who created the heavens and earth, dwells in Jesus Christ, promised to return again in us. And what he done, we do also. Do you believe me to be his prophet? The reason I say that, the angel of the Lord told me, get the people to believe you. And if they won't believe you, then you'll know the very secrets of their heart, and they'll have to believe it then. But you do believe me. And besides the reason that you do believe me, you are a minister of the gospel yourself. And you're here.
All right. He just said to know the secrets of the heart. I want to show you something. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. It is God that knows the heart. Jesus knew their hearts, right? Matthew 9:4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is either to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, go into thine house. Jesus knows the heart. right? Jesus knows the heart. This man is Antichrist.
Here for a good cause. You're not sick, you're in need, and you want an old-fashioned revival to break in your community.
Praise the Lord.
That's what you're praying for.
Praise the Lord.
Every one of us wants that. Let's all stand for an old-fashioned revival. Almighty.
What a bunch of dum-dums. Let's all stand for an old-fashioned revival. Let's all stand for an old-fashioned revival. And that's all you got to do to get people going. Hoopity-hippity-hoppity-hoo. And they start running around like a bunch of crazy people, hanging, swinging from the trees like a bunch of monkeys. It's just ridiculous. It has nothing to do with the Spirit of God. It has nothing to do with the power of the Holy Ghost. It has nothing to do with men's hearts broken over their sin, people paying their debts off, getting right with God, raising their families for the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's all hoopity hippity hoppity. It's just so ridiculous. Let's all stand up.
God who created the heavens and earth, I ask now that every demon power in this building will be broke. The power.
So why are there demon powers in the building? If you're Mr. Prophet Man, what's the building all full of demon powers for? See, let me tell you what this does. I'm going to be real with you here. I mean, I usually always try to be, except when I'm wearing my orange cone head, of course. But I'm going to try to be real with you here. And let me say this to you. I have been around this spirit of charismania and some of its more subtle proponents. It is a distraction from the gospel. It has a heavy legalistic spirit about it that tramples people down. It has a false holiness about it. And it is an utter distraction from the grace of Almighty God. In fact, it is the opposite of what I'm preaching about tonight. Tonight I'm preaching about great grace, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to finish the book of Acts chapter 4. We're going to finish the book of the chapter of Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to preach about that. Acts chapter 4 and great grace and the great fruit that comes from it. Which is totally different than this show. Totally different from the show. And I'm just telling you, by the grace of God, I've lost about 15 pounds in the last, week and a half. And no matter what, I couldn't cast out the demons of Oreos or cast out the demon of chocolate cake or cast out the demon of Schwann's ice cream or cast out the demon of a big old plate of tacos or cast out the devil of all those other things. You know what I had to do? Stop eating them. I was on vacation a couple times. I had all this stuff going on and I had to get back into shape. So I don't get to cast off the devils of all those things. I don't get to blame that on the devil. It ain't the devil's fault, all right? No gay Oreos. I had to stop it. Stop it. And I had to cast off the Kansas City barbecue sauce for a while. All right. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that it isn't. Oh, I love pork roast. You can have some of that. You just got to be sparing. Got to be careful. But anyway, you got to cast off the junk food, which I'm going to have again. I treat myself sometimes. Right. You got to do that. But anyway, the point is that we. we can't blame everything else. Right? We can't. And this stuff is what, it's a distraction. It's a bad spirit that comes in. I'm telling you, it comes in a lot of forms. I've seen people do this with organic food and everything else. Be like, oh, well, you have to eat organic food, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. And they're just really got this spirit that they look down on people that don't do that. All that kind of stuff. It's just, I'm telling you, it's mostly among these holiness people. False holiness, so-called. All right, let me actually, whoa.
What do I got here?
There we go. Let's see. Let's read you a quote here from Kurt Koch. He was a Christian authority on occultism. He wrote a book on occultism, which is really good, actually. And he had this warning about Branham. He said this: years ago, Branham told his interpreter, Pastor Ruff, "If my angel does not give the sign, I cannot heal." Ruff noticed several features of spiritism in the work of Branham and therefore stopped working with him. These angels of whom Harry Edwards and Branham spoke after are evil spirits masquerading as angels of light. As in many areas of the occult, we are here reminded again that the devil appears as an angel of light. Another evidence is the fact that neither Edwards nor Branham were able to perform cures when faced with born-again Christians who had committed themselves to the protection of Christ. In the case of Branham, I have experienced this myself, he said. When he spoke in Karlsruhe and Lausanne, there were several believers among the audience, including myself, who prayed along these lines. Lord, if this man's powers are from you, then blessed use him. But if the healing gifts are not from you, then hinder him. The results? On both occasions, Branham said from the platform, there are disturbing powers here. I can do nothing. Kurt Koch, Occult, ABC, Exposing Occultic Practices and Ideologies. So, right? You see that? See how that works? That shouldn't be a surprise to you at all.
The power of Jesus Christ be made manifest. Lord, weak, but we're not defeated. Satan, I adjure thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of the people. Stand up, you crippled people, out of the weak.
So all these people in his congregation are full of Satan. Whoa.
Give him praise, everyone.
Could you imagine going up to your pastor and be like, Pastor, I got a headache. Demons of headache, come out of him! I mean, Pastor, it's just a hangnail. I'm not possessed. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? Oh, I got a stomach ache. Demons of stomach ache, come out of him! I mean, like, who could go to church like that? But I'll tell you what that spirit creates is a spirit of paranoia. And I've seen it. I've had it around me. And it causes you to question everything. And I don't mean rightly dividing the word of truth and approving all things with the scriptures. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about paranoia. That everybody's motives are worse than what they are. That it's not just normal depravity, but they have this diabolical scheme to bring you down.
Hallelujah.
God will just reveal to me what is wrong with you. Will you accept him as your healer? You will.
Okay, stop. Now, so you're going to believe what this man says to you if he can give you a sign. That sounds like witchcraft. Because if he can prove it, then you'll follow whatever whoever told you what it was. See the deception here? We're to believe God by faith. If God's word says it, then we're to believe it by faith. That's what God's word says to do.
Now we are strangers, I suppose, are we? Never seen each other in life, nowhere. But God knows what's wrong with you, isn't that right? You're one of your greatest saints. You're anemic also. Isn't that right? You believe that God will make you well? Lord Jesus, I pray that you will heal the woman. Make her well, Father. May she go from here tonight and be made completely whole. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask it. Amen. Now, go rejoicing. Pray. Now, that's according to your faith, sister. See, he never told me one thing, just said what was wrong with you. Watch what he says, see. What he tells you, that you do. Now, that's totally up to you, see. You believe it. He said you'd accept it. Now, he took it your word. You take him at his word. Go testify the same, you'll get well. Amen.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Let's say thanks be to God. Amen. Now we are be strangers. I see that you are strictly a stranger to me. You're from away from here. You come from another city.
Let's stop right here and ask ourselves, like, why do you have to tell people? Why do you have to tell people that we're strangers? Now we're strangers, right? I mean, it's just, it's like it's a show.
You've got a lot of trouble on your heart. You got hard trouble to begin with. Is that right? There's a whole lot of blackness. I see a black sheep keep following you like that. Oh, it's a lie. Somebody's told a lie on you. And that was a man who was professing divine healing.
Yes, sir.
He said you was a witch. Is that true? And you got a whole stir in your church or something or other about it. Isn't that right? Your pastor's sick right now. He's got polio. Is that right? Sister, don't pay no attention to what them people tell you. They're lying. And the only thing's wrong with your heart is that nervous condition got your heart worked up. Go on home in peace, and God bless you. You're all right. God bless you. You're not a witch.
Did you hear what he said to her? You're all right. You're not a witch. Somebody thought she was a witch, so she went to the real witch. Right? She went to the real witch. And probably got more devils in her. Oh boy. We're going to continue with this video here. And we'll end up going to something else. So I'm going to read you this interview. But I got to set it up because this will. I think that woman might have probably been messing around with the occult. See, God will give you over if you want to be... If you want to be perverted like that, if you want to follow a perverted spirit, God will give you over to it.
You believe with all your heart? Believe God will heal you, that healing. Believe he'll make you well about asking. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll heal the woman and may she get completely whole. I ask this blessing in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Go on your road rejoicing, saying, thank you, Lord, and you'll get well. Come, lady. Almighty God, author of life, give this woman her perfect health in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Just a minute. Something happened to you. You know that. You're aware of that. Is that right? Why, it's all over the building. And every person here could be healed right now if you'd believe it. You believe this? Have faith in God. Are you one of the ushers, sir? All right, sir. That lady sitting right there. Got heart trouble, that speckled dress on. Stand up, lady. He just healed you. They had that heart trouble. You believe that with all your heart? All right.
There sits a lady there with her handkerchief up crying.
What record exactly are they believing with all their heart? And how can they believe this man with all their heart when they don't even know him? You don't know. He's not preaching the Bible. He's not showing you from the scriptures. He's deviated from the scriptures.
Just had a lick on the head the other day. She's got a headache. It's causing it. Is that right? Stand up and accept your healing in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. How many of the rest of you want to accept your healing? Jesus Christ is right here now to heal you. Do you believe that? All that wants to be healed, stand to your feet right now. Every person in the building that wants to be healed, stand to your feet. Raise up your hands like this to God. Almighty God, the author of life, the giver of every good gift, as our spirit is here tonight, I pray that you'll heal every person in this building.
So here we have a man that says that he can reveal the secrets of a man's heart, which is certainly demonic, because God alone knows the secrets of the heart. Now, I've showed you that video, and I'm going to show you other quotes and give you other... These are his own quotes, and I'll give you other quotes, but we're going to get into... We're going to get into some other things here. Alfred Pohl was a leader in the Pentecostal denomination in Canada and worked in one of Branham's crusades in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Okay? In the late 1940s, Pohl was right by Branham's side during the meetings and attended Branham when he prayed over the bedridden cases following the evening healing services. Pohl made the following statements about this crusade in an interview with me as the editor of O Timothy Magazine, says David Cloud, on February 21st, 1990. Now, bear with me as I read you this interview. Okay, just bear with me. And again, you can purchase this book at wayoflife.org, The Pentecostal Charismatic Movements, The History and Error. And also these quotes. I mean, this is an interview. This is the man that worked with him. Okay? And listen to what he says about the healing. David Cloud asked him, did many claim to be healed, or did it seem that many were healed in the meeting? Pohl responds, yes, there were those that claimed to be healed. And there were those people that thought they saw healings or thought they saw miracles. But when you're on this, the inside, you saw that some of those things that were supposed to be miracles were not miracles at all. From the outside, you would think that something had really happened, but having been right close to Branham and working right with him, I discovered that a lot of those supposed healings or miracles were really not miracles after all. As you took him, Branham, through the dorm where the worst bedridden people were housed, he prayed for different individuals. What did he say during those encounters with the individuals? He responds, well, one of the things he did was to take the hand of the person, and quite often I had heard him say that the angel that gave him his gift told him that to identify certain diseases, and he would speak of cancer very much. There are vibrations that he felt on the hand and that indicated that his person has cancer. So he would take the patient's hand and hold it. He would say, yes, the vibrations tell me that you have cancer. Then he'd say something like this, we're going to pray for you that the Lord will heal you. And he proceeded to do this. Then he went on, and when he was through praying, he would take that hand again, or else he would hold the hand through the prayer. And he would say, the vibrations are gone. The cancer is dead. You are healed. And the person would rejoice. Of course, so would I. I thoroughly believed in Branham. I thought he was God's man and so forth, and he wanted to see people healed. So supposedly the cancer was dead and they were happy about this. But then he had a little added statement there, and that was something like this. Now just keep on trusting the Lord. You're healed. Don't lose your faith in the Lord. Just keep your faith and trust in the Lord, and you're healed, he said. You're going to be sick for a while. You're going to be quite sick for a few days. Quite often he referred to 3 days. You're going to be sick for 3 days. The people often asked, well, what do you mean, Brother Branham? If I'm healed, why should I be sick? He said the cancer growth, which is now dead inside your body, has to be carried out by the bloodstream. And it's waste material. It has to be carried out. It's poison material. And so you'll be sick for quite a while until that is carried away. But what happened then was this, that in the meantime, the people wouldn't worry about it. They'd say, well, that's what Branham said would happen. I'm healed. But this went on until some of these people got sicker and sicker and died. So he had an out. By this time, he was gone from that place, David Cloud asks. So there were many that he proclaimed healed? Yes, yes. Practically everyone, as I recall, standing beside these various bedsides, practically everyone was pronounced healed. But the tragedy is that so many of those died after Branham was gone. So there was something wrong. He also said, don't let your faith fail. In other words, he emphasized that point, don't let your faith fail. And his out was this. I'm sure that when they died, well, their faith failed. It wasn't his faith, it was their faith. In other words, it was the patient's faith, which I don't see that in the scripture. When the Lord healed, they were healed. And there wasn't such a thing as you'll be sick for 5 days or 3 days, and so don't lose your faith. I don't see that in the scripture, said Paul. Then David Cloud says, there was a newspaper that tried to investigate the healings. Can you tell me something about that? What were they able to confirm as far as the healings? Yes. In Winnipeg, Branham came to Canada. At that time, he preached at a number of apostolic churches in Canada. The first church was the church of our moderator in Winnipeg, who brought him into Canada. And Mr. Branham had his campaign there. Then he came later on to Saskatoon. When the campaign was in progress in Winnipeg, the newspaper, one of the largest newspapers, was giving considerable coverage to the meetings, and they indicated there were a lot of people healed. They were favorable to this church and advertised it and gave news reports that quite a few people were healed. But later on, that same editor sent out some reporters to check on some of these people that they had written up in the papers weeks before. The reporters were to check up and see whether these people were supposedly healed at the time and were still healed, were still alive, or whatever. And when these reporters went back, they discovered that these people had died or were in the same state or in a worse state than they were before. So the editor then put it in the paper that these cases had been turned out to be phonies and that these people weren't healed after all. And there was something wrong with these so-called miracle healings. So check it out. If you're at one of these meetings and you're all hippity-hoppity, and you're getting healed, and you walk away.
Now we are being
right,
strange.
And you're this lady, and you're excited, right? And you're walking away. Then you get home. A few days later goes by, and you're not healed. But when the pastor of the church saw these reports in the paper, he went to the editor, rather disturbed and not very happy about the situation. He confronted the editor. Why do you do this to our church? You're hurting the reputation of our church, and you shouldn't do that to us. And the editor said words something to this effect. Well, Pastor, if the healings are genuine, you don't have anything to worry, do you? And I thought that to myself later on when I had heard this, well, that editor certainly had a lot of common sense. Because if they were genuine, why worry? If they're not, well, then they should be exposed, which is what the paper did. And the editor said, Pastor, we gave you good coverage when Mr. Branham was here. The pastor had to admit they did. Now, he said, we owe it to our people to give them the rest of the story. And he said, that's what we found. He said to the pastor, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you can bring me one genuine case of a genuine healing, I'll give you the front page. And I was told, right in that pastor's home, that they could not find one. Not one? Not one, responded Paul. David Cloud goes on to say, I understand there was a radio pastor whose wife supposedly was healed. And also a man with 4 students in the college. Could you tell me about those cases? Now listen, folks, I'm going to read you these cases. And just bear with me. I know it can be long, but I want you to understand the effects of this. I showed you the video, okay? I showed you what he does. Now I'm going to show you how it affects people. Listen, folks, these are real people's lives. These people on stage, some of them actually believed this man was real. And they were deceived. And you say, well, they're just dumb people and that's their problem. They were deceived by the devil. And if you've ever been hit upside the head by Satan and deceived, you'll know what it's like. And you'll have compassion for people like this. Look, I mock these guys. I mock this William Branham, these guys, like Elijah mocked the false prophets of Baal, because these are the prophets of Baal. So people get mad at me because I mock them. I do mock them. I defy them. I defy everything they stand for and the kingdom they stand in. I absolutely mock them, and I defy them in the name of Christ. But I have compassion for these people that are caught in it. Because some of these people are just deceived. Okay, so I understand. So he goes on. He's going to tell the story about what happened to this lady that was supposed to be healed. Oh, yes, the first one I would relate is a man from a little place near Regina, Saskatchewan. He and his wife were staunch Christians in our denomination. Very fine family. They had four children. They were all attending our Bible school at the time, in which I was on staff. We knew these children very well, such very fine children, and young people in a very fine family. One day during the healing campaign, the phone rang in our dorm, and I answered it in our office there. And here was this man phoning from the airport. He'd flown his wife in from near Regina, and he said, "We're here. We want Branham to pray for my wife. She's dying of cancer. What shall we do?" "Well," I said, "bring her down to the Bible school dorm," and knew very well where that was. And he knew very well where that was. "I'll meet you at the south door, and he'll put her in a room, and I'll see that Branham prays for her." Which he did. And after the meeting that night, we proceeded to take Branham from room to room. And of course, we had her in mind very much. And we brought him into her room, and the husband was there too. Branham prayed for her and pronounced her healed. Well, there was great rejoicing on part of all of us. We really were rejoicing that the Lord had healed this woman. We were rejoicing for the sake of the whole family. He had given them this story, of course, that she's still going to be sick, though she's healed. She's going to feel pretty bad. So they flew back as soon as they could. They wouldn't stay around. We didn't have the facilities to take care of sick people there. There was just a dormitory. And so they went back as soon as they could. About 10 to 14 days later, in that time frame, I was sitting in the office in the Bible school. Branham was gone. The meetings were over. The door opened to the main building, and I could hear footsteps. Then a knock at the office door. In came this gentleman. Of course, I recognized him immediately, but I saw that his face was very downcast. He was really under pressure and a heavy burden. So I invited him to sit down, and I asked, "Brother," I said, "what's on your heart?" And he said, "Brother Paul, you were standing beside my wife when she was sick in one of the rooms in the dorm. Mr. Branham prayed for her, and he pronounced her healed." I said, "Yes, I was right there." He said, "Tell me, how is it that my wife, who was healed 10 days ago, somewhere in that time frame, is now in the grave?" He said, "Tell me, how can that be?" Paul goes on to say, "Well, it really hit me hard, and it hit him hard and hit me hard too, because that's the first I heard that she had died. We hadn't heard that she had died, so here he was all broken up and wanted an explanation. What could I tell him? I think that's one of the hardest questions I ever had to answer in my life. Why is she dead? If she was healed and I was witness..." He couldn't figure this out, a very fine Christian, and I felt for him. To this day, I don't know what I said, but I know we wept together and we prayed together. I could have said this, brother, your faith failed, or your wife's faith failed. What help would I have been to him? I mean, that's a terrible thing to do. I wouldn't dare say that to him, to anyone. He was broken. He had enough to burden him down at this stage without saying, your faith failed you. That was the wrong thing to say, so I didn't say it. I couldn't have said that because that's the feeling behind a lot of these cases. The healer will say, well, your faith failed and it's not my fault. But I don't see that. I don't see that as the case in Scripture either, where people's faith failed and they lost their healing after God healed. Or the Lord healed them or the apostles healed them. So it's ridiculous. Anyway, he left then, and of course we prayed for him and so on, but it really was a difficult blow to this man and his family. Then, the other party was, I recall, so well was a pastor from Port Arthur, Ontario, which is now called Thunder Bay, Ontario. They combined two cities. This man was a Pentecostal pastor, had a radio broadcast, and I understand quite a sizable church. He flew his wife and the nurse to Saskatoon, which was quite a trip, quite costly. And again, I had a phone call from the airport and placed them in a room, were eventually in the dorm. And when the meeting was over and the prayer line was over in the church, I brought Branham into the dorm, and he prayed for this lady as well. He prayed also for the nurse. The nurse was deaf. He prayed for her healing and claimed that she was healed. He also claimed the pastor's wife was healed of cancer. Well, there was great rejoicing. Let me tell you, we rejoiced together because I thoroughly believed in Branham all the time. I thought he was just it. He was God's man. We rejoiced together, and then Branham left. And the husband, the pastor, said to me, now, Brother Pohl, he said, I've spent thousands of dollars to try to get my help for my wife on doctors and this and that and the other medicines. He said, I really can't afford it, but here. And he wrote out a sizable check. He said, I can't afford it, but Branham is worth it. He said, my wife is healed. He took Branham at his word. See, it wasn't anything else. He just believed Branham. And there was this sizable check, he said. Give it to Branham, which I did the next day. Later on, about 3 or 4 weeks later, I left for Ontario. I was missionary secretary for our denomination, and I visited some of our churches in Ontario. And in the process of visiting our churches, I came to Port Arthur. We had a church in Port William, and one of those things I did when I got to Port William was to ask pastors, what about the pastor so-and-so in Port Arthur? I named him. I said, how's his wife doing? I said, she was healed in the meetings in Saskatoon. And I saw a strange look that came over their faces. And I asked that question, and I thought in my heart, oh no, not another one. Just like the family I was telling you about in Saskatoon from Regina. And I said in my heart, no, not another one. And they said, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? She's dead. She passed away. Well, that was another blow to me because I began to realize that something was wrong with this kind of healing, that it was counterfeit. Something was drastically wrong. Of all people, here was a pastor who loved the Lord and served the Lord. And you know, why did this happen? Did his faith fail? Did his wife's faith fail? He had a whole church behind him. But no, she passed away. I was told that the worst thing was that this man, the pastor, had a very good radio broadcast in the area. He went on the air as soon as he got home, and he announced that they had been to Saskatoon to the Branham meetings and had wonderful meetings there. And there were many healings, and amongst them his wife was gloriously healed in those meetings. I'm sure that many people rejoiced, were happy to hear that. But it wasn't very long after that, a few days later, he had to get on the same radio station and mention the fact that his wife had passed away. And I was told this gave this radio program a severe blow and setback. Because the world at large, I mean, they think too, they're not stupid. Here one day she was gloriously healed, and a few days later she's dead? You know this doesn't add up. We had more of those cases. These are just two exceptional ones. But there were others that passed away. I stood beside bed after bed, person after person, who was pronounced healed, and yet, where were they? They passed away. So there was something very wrong with this type of healing. That's the end of the interview. Alfred Pohl. Now, David Cloud goes on to say something. I'm going to back it up with some other thoughts here. But he says this, and I believe him. I agree with him. He said, I'm convinced that Branham's healing powers were occultic. The voices that tormented him, the vibrations and swellings in his hands, the lights that followed him, the fiery balls that supposedly danced about the room during some of his healing crusades, the complete exhaustion he experienced after his meetings, all of this is evidence of occultism. The visitations frightened and confused Branham so much that he told his wife he hated them and that he was going to renounce them, though he always drew back from taking that step. Men of God tried to warn him. In fact, even the fortune tellers recognized his occultic powers, Branham said. Now, I want you to listen to this testimony. This is a testimony of Branham when he was a child, when he said these voices came on him. And he heard these voices and he heard this stuff. I want you to listen to it. Branham said this. What made me more scared than ever, every time I met a fortune teller, they would recognize something had happened, and that would just nearly killed me. For instance, one day my cousins and I was going down through a carnival ground. We was just boys walking along. So there was a little old fortune teller sitting out there in one of these tents. She said, "Say, you, come here a minute." And the three of us boys turned around, and she said, "You with the striped sweater." "That was me," he said. And I walked up. I said, "Yes, ma'am. What can I do for you?" And she said, "Say, did you know there's a light that follows you? You were born under a certain sign." William Branham, The Man and His Message, page 22 to 23. Branham described other instances in which soothsayers told him similar things. I'm going to read this part last, but we're going to go to some quotes here. Now, this is from the Berean Call, Dave Hunt. I don't agree lock, stock, and barrel with Dave Hunt. He passed away, but there's some things that he was seriously right about. And, you know, here's some quotes. William Branham said that Eve's sin involves sexual relations with the serpent, but the seed of God. Were Branham's followers, otherwise known as the bride or the new breed. The new breed. Think about that. Todd Bentley talked about the new breed when he had a guy from that worked with William Branham for years come up on stage with him and give him some of the anointing. He said this, William Branham, "Now, my precious brothers, I know this is a tape also. Now, don't get excited. Let me say this with godly love. The hour's approached where I can't still hold on these things no more. Trinitarianism is of the devil. I tell you that, thus saith the Lord." William Branham, Footprints of the Sand of Time, Sands of Time. Now, he's saying that's of the Lord, but he didn't get that from God. The angel spoke to William Branham, saying, "Fear not, I am sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you that your particular life and your misunderstood ways have been to indicate that God has sent you to take a gift of healing, divine healing to the people of the world. If you will be sincere and can get the people to believe you, nothing shall stand." How does he get the people to believe him? It's just ridiculous. He said, "Why don't you examine your baptism of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and that false Trinity?" Well, why don't you examine what Jesus said? Shall we? Why don't we do that? Oops. Because if we examine what Jesus said, then we know we're on safe ground. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Well, that's what he said. So I examined it. There you go. There you be. Bronham explained, not one place in the Bible is Trinity ever mentioned. It's Catholic error. Well, that's not true, because the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is mentioned at Jesus' baptism. Okay. Here's what actually happened in the Garden of Eden. The Word says that, you know, we read that one. Now I'm just your brother by the grace of God, but when the angel of the Lord moves down, it becomes a voice of God to you. But I'm God's voice to you. Now see, I can say nothing in myself, but what He shows me. So he is saying that he is God's voice. He is speaking as God. Do you understand that? I like the haters on there. I think it's funny. They're getting the shellacking of their life right now by the grace of God, because they're finding out that everything that they link their precious false gifts to, the father of their precious false gifts, is nothing but a wicked, devil-possessed heretic that died and went to a devil's hell, that preached a false gospel, that had a false anointing, and that had a devil he was possessed with. All right, William Bronham, let's see, said that Eve involved sexual relations with the serpent, but the seed of God were Branham's followers. We talked about that. The angel spoke. Okay, I got that one. We got talked about that false prophecy there. Let's see. When Branham was baptizing 130 converts in the Ohio River, allegedly, a heavenly light, like a blazing star, appeared above him just as he was about to baptize the 17 persons. It has also been reported that a voice spoke from within the light saying, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of the Lord, so you are sent to forerun his second coming. That's from The Enigma of William Bronham. Right? Let's see. It was later in the ministry that Bronham began gradually withdrawing from his own little circle where he had an adoring and loyal following. Essentially, the circle was made up of oneness or Jesus-only Pentecostals, and instead of his previous unwillingness to speak about the contentions or divisive minor issues, he now gradually began to emphasize such things more and more in his preaching. Slowly, these teachings became ever more alarming and extreme. Branham taught that the Word of God was given in three forms. We talked about that. Branham's body is still in the grave, but his occult methodology of healing was picked up by hundreds of pastors and teachers, which we should note Branham's grave. See if we can find it here. Here it is. Well, does anybody else think this is spooky? Huh? There it is. There's the bird on top. See that? Then you have Charles Taze Russell, who is absolutely obsessed with pyramids. Right? That. Look at those two fellers. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? It ought to be a little bit interesting, huh? Now, I want to read this to you. Years ago, William Branham told his interpreter, Pastor Ruff, if my angel does not give him a sign. Okay, we talked about that. Another evidence is the fact that neither Edwards nor Branham were able to perform cures. We talked about that one. That was that one. The most remarkable Messiah at the time of the writing of this book is to be found at Camp Manajotha Ashram in the desert of South India. It is the extreme evangelist William Branham whom Christians have to thank for this false Messiah. His name is Paluzer Lowry Matukrishna. When Branham was on a tour of India, Brother Lowry became a disciple of his, and Branham described him as the Son of God and Christ returned. This is a very curious situation. Why would the Son of God and Christ return be the disciple of a man like Branham? Shouldn't it have been the other way around? Or maybe it was. Perhaps this is an important connection between Hinduism and Kundalini and the modern counterfeit revival. Perhaps this is where Branham, one of the fathers of the third wave movement, picked up the ability to pass along Kundalini-type manifestations. Perhaps this is where he picked up the demonic spirit, because it is reported that towards the end, some of his teachings almost bordered on the occult. From Kurt Koch, Occult, ABC, 1978, page 66. Comments on Deception in the Church, Enigma of William Branham. Okay. Now, we'll finish up with our teaching here today. In spite of the Branham's followers accepted him as the apostle and prophet of the final church age, and when he died on December 24th, 1965, from injuries he had sustained in an automobile crash, he was expected to rise from the dead in 3 days. 5 days later, they finally buried him. Branhamite meetings continue today in some parts of the United States, Canada, and Britain, and I have been told that some of the Branhamite services, an empty chair is placed in a prominent place for Branham. To this date, though, he is still in the grave. In spite of his many unscriptural doctrines and bogus healings, Branham has had a wide influence among Pentecostals. He was long supported by Demos Shakarin, founder of the Full Gospel Business Men's Fellowship International. Shakarin wrote, Reverend Branham often made the statement that the only fellowship to which he belonged was the FGBMFI. Often when called upon to speak at various conventions and chapter meetings, he has traveled long distances to keep those engagements. His spirit of service was an inspiration. David Harrell, All Things Are Possible. Others influenced by Branham include Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, Jake Coe, A.A. Allen, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Catherine Kuhlman, Paul Kane, Earl Polk, Marilyn Hickey, and Benny Hinn. That's from the Dictionary of Pentecostals and Charismatic Movements, acknowledges Branham's vast influence. They say this in closing. As the pace setter of the healing revival of the 1940s and 50s, Branham was the primary source of inspiration in the development of other healing ministries. He inspired hundreds of ministers to enter the healing ministry, and a multitude of evangelists paid tribute to him for the impact he had upon their work. As early as 1950, over 1,000 healing evangelists gathered at a Voice of Healing convention to acknowledge the profound influence of Branham on the healing movement. Dictionary of Pentecostal, first edition, page 372. So, in other words, we have the history of a man that is super popular, right? Super popular in these circles, right? And in Pentecostal charismatic circles. And we see that admittedly, he had the power of devils. So no matter what he did, whether it was legit or false, or legit or completely fake, it was false in the eyes of God. It was sinful in the eyes of God. And I mean, the man deceived many. He did not believe that Jesus was God. He really had a lot of weird teachings that were up and down, really strange things. They really didn't make a lot of sense. But see, if you follow these things, and the spirit of these things, and try to mimic and write these things, or mimic these things and follow these Pentecostal churches, these charismatic churches, and these phony gifts that they don't have, that they're lying about. The gospel is not important to these people. What's important to these people is their gifts, is their phony gifts. And the Bible says in the end times there would be a rise of seducing spirits, doctrine of devils, lying wonders, signs and lying wonders. And there's people that worship this man, Branham. They have named groups after him. They have followed him. They have lifted him up and they have tried to exalt him as some great man, and he's not. He's not. He did more to take away from the gospel than probably any other Pentecostal at the time. And I believe it's because he had occultic powers. I believe he had occultic powers. I believe he did. Like, I don't doubt it at all. I believe he did. And the Bible warns us. Signs and lying, lying wonders. In the end times, what do we see a rise of? We see a rise of even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It says that God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. He held to pagan false doctrines of the Godhead. This is an entire clip of him questioning. It's 28 minutes or 30 minutes of him saying Jesus isn't God, of saying just the most perverse, saying that Jesus became God at his baptism, that God the Father came on Jesus in his baptism, and that's how he became God. But before that, Jesus wasn't God. There are so many false doctrines that this man held to. Damnable heresies. These are not just disagreements in minor doctrines. Okay? These are wholesale apostasy. Right? Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you that you should exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the God of the Bible. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We are in that time. We are in that time of the departure of the faith. And we've seen it. And we're experiencing it. And I'm telling you not to fall for these false prophets that claim to have these gifts. Their prophecies don't come true. Their doctrines don't line up with the Bible. And they're teaching men to go astray. Now then, does anybody have any questions over here? While we're looking through the list here. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, I'm yawning. I apologize for that. Anybody at all have any questions? Let's see. Ooh, what's that? That's not it. Oops. He was a heretic. He is a heretic. Or he was a heretic. Now he's in hell. Right?
Shalom. My name is Or, which is the Hebrew word for light. If you already knew...
Freddie Martinez says, I wanted to know your thoughts on the Christians United for Israel movement. Should it be supported? Well, I don't know what that is exactly, but the only thing that needs to be supported for Israel is the gospel. I don't think anybody ought to, you know, support war against Israel or take Palestine from them or anything like that. I believe that land belongs to them. But I don't think that we ought to be a part of any third temple being built. We ought not be a part of any of those things. That's an Antichrist temple that's going to be built, or the Antichrist is going to sit there, I believe. So I don't think we ought to support anything like that of that nature. I think we ought to be careful about that and stay away from that and support the preaching of the gospel so men can be saved. And, you know, I'm not like the labor Zionist groups and all these people that, you know, Israel's government is wicked as hell. But the people over there need to be saved just like the people in Africa do and people in Palestine do. Okay, they need the gospel. They need to be born again by the Spirit of God. And I want all people to be saved. And, you know, so we need to support that. But, you know, supporting these political groups, I think you got to be careful with that. Because they're tainted with a lot of evil. You know. And I hope it did explain a lot to you and show you a lot that was necessary. A moment that unites Jews and... Well, Jews and Christians can't be united. You know why? Because partial blindness is given to Israel. They can only look at the Bible this way. Okay? Their left eye can see the Old Testament, but their right eye can't see Christ. So their blindness in part has been given to Israel. So they see the law, but they cannot see Jesus Christ. So there's no uniting and working together like in that sense. I cannot unite scripturally with anybody that does not hold to the Word of God. Yeah, I don't think so. I'd have to know more about what that means exactly, but I don't believe so. serious? Are there a lot of thumbs down? That's totally funny. Wow. That many people like that guy, huh? He's pretty popular, isn't he? All I did was tell the truth about him from his own writings. You know, I just told the truth about him. Will you pray for us, okay? Pray for us as we have a lot of evangelism coming up. I mean a ton of it coming up. So pray for us. We're going to be handing out, man, I'll tell you what, Lord willing, I would guess to say about 14 to 15,000 tracks in the next month. So please, pray for us as we do that, and pray for the Lord to continue to provide for us as we do the work of the Lord here, and we continue to preach the word, and we get ready for the state fair, we get ready for preaching the defeat of Jesse James days, we unveil some new banners, I broadcast live from those events for you, so you can hear and see the preaching of God's word out there on the streets, and man on the street interviews with people, and things of that nature. So you keep praying for us. Pray for our family. Pray for our health. Pray for the Lord to continue to work in our hearts and our lives, and God's Spirit to continue to move. And, you know, we're excited about that. And pray for me. By the time I get done with this, August, September, October, I have 3 months of very intense evangelism. Then I'm going on vacation with my family for, you know, probably 10 days to 2 weeks. And I'm going to be hitting the road, and we're going to go somewhere around Washington, D.C. And we're going to visit Washington, D.C. We're going to visit. I want to show my kids some of the history of D.C., some of the history of America in that nature out there. I want to show them the Smithsonian and a bunch of other things like that, and on the way out there, we'll stop at some places. If you're on the way out there, I might stay at some prophets' chambers. Those are pastors have those in certain churches on the way out there too, as well. But I might stay at some of those on the way out there and visit some churches while I'm on the way out there. I don't know what the Lord will provide, but we're also going to go and, you know, travel out in that area. So we'll be traveling through Ohio and on into Pennsylvania and on into DC and all that way. So that'll be in November, but we'll be working 3 months, pretty intensely on evangelism and being out there. And then I'll still be doing these programs with you. And then I will have to take a break for a few weeks and get some rest and relaxation and, you know, gear up for the next half of the beginning of winter and all that. But I like to get away at that time a couple times a year, about 3 times a year I try to get away. And just for, it's good for the mind, it's good for the heart, it's good for my family, and, you know, all that stuff. And the Lord blesses that. And sometimes we just need some relaxation and things like that, and some different environment, you know, different environment and things like that. So you pray for us about that as we do that along the way. And if you're along the way that I'm traveling and you listen to us, we would love to meet you. You know, we would certainly love to meet you along the way. And so just let me know. I mean, if I'm passing through your way along my way from Minnesota to Washington, D.C. in that area, you know, just let us know, because we'd love to stop by and see and say hi. And if we're in that area, you know, we may even hold a church service, you know, near you or something like that on our way out there. So I don't know that for sure. I'm just throwing that out there. That's a possibility. But hey, I just want to let you know that I'm heading out that way. So I'll give you a 3 months advance notice there that, Lord willing, that's what the plan is, unless God changes that. Of course, God is sovereign. He can do what he wants. But anyway, You know, so you pray for us about that. Are you coming to Central New York? I don't think so. Pastor, will there be an convoy of a Rolls Royce waiting to drive you and your family through D.C. like the one that awaited T.G. Jakes in Nigeria? No. I can promise you no. First of all, my family can't fit in a Rolls Royce because I have 6 children and grandma and grandpa will be with me. So there'll be 10 of us and we'll be in our big 15-passenger van that people were mad that I bought for some reason because I guess they figured 15 guys going out preaching and 10 people in the van traveling is a 15-passenger van is too big. But whatever, I just laughed at that and chuckled. But that's life, that's the world. Anyway, but anyway, I don't know what that is. What will happen if the airplane you and your family going ride have movie screens as well as music played? I'm not taking an airplane. I'm driving. I'm not taking an airplane. I'm driving. I'm driving 16 hours. If your kids listen to pop music with free headphones to auxiliaries, Jax, what do you mean what would happen? I tell them to knock it off. That's kind of a weird thing to wonder. It's kind of a weird thing to wonder. My kids don't listen to pop music. They don't have television. They don't know any of the artists. And I wouldn't let them buy it anyway. You don't like flying? I don't have the money to fly. I can't fly 6 kids. Are you kidding me? 6 kids and grandma and grandpa? I can't fly. I don't have any money. Nobody has that kind of money, man. Well, I don't anyway. Real preachers don't anyway. No, I don't. Well, I have flown. If I was by myself and I needed to preach somewhere, I rarely don't. I don't go by myself too often anywhere, though. I usually have somebody with me. I don't travel alone. I don't travel well by myself. I don't travel, number one, by myself, and I don't travel well by myself if I did have to. I don't do that. But anyway, yeah, they'll think I'm an Amish hauler. Yeah, 15-passenger van. Road trips are way more fun with kids anyway. We have a blast. We have a great time. My kids love it. They have a great time on the road. You know, we have a good time. We have a lot of fun on the road. So, yeah, Cindy, I'm geographically challenged, but I'm pretty sure I'm not near where you're Utah. Yeah. What if you run out of gas in the middle of nowhere? I have insurance. I have like Ford Connect. I have. What if I did? What's the big deal? People have ran out of gas for like, I don't know, 50 years, 60 years. I don't run out of gas in the middle of nowhere. I try to look where I'm, look before I leap. That's a weird question. I almost think that I hate to break it, but I think Shockstorm's like a troll. I don't know, maybe not, but I don't know. Anyway, yeah, call AAA. I don't know. I don't take chances like that with 6 kids on the road. I gas up and make sure I have gas. I'm not trying to be unkind, but that's just weird. Yeah, Cindy, that'd be fun. I'd like to come out there and see y'all sometime. Also, remember the good times before smartphones? Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're using Tesla. I don't know what Tesla is. I don't have a Tesla. I'm too poor for a Tesla, I think. Okay, well, maybe you're just asking goofy questions on purpose to get to me. But that's okay. Also, remember the good times before smart. I do remember that. And I made it. I made it! But by the grace of God. Anyway, that's what we're looking forward to in like maybe 3 months or so. You're welcome to Augusta County, Virginia. That'd be cool. I don't know where that's at, but somebody can show me, I'm sure. No, I don't have an electric car. I have a 15-passenger van. I don't even think you can make that electric. Take a couple horses. They can pull your van when you really guess. Yeah, right. My van's a 1-ton. It's pretty heavy. I remember the bag phones in the glove compartment. That was funny. But anyway, so remember those bag phones in the glove box? People are helpless. Tesla makes electric cars that run on batteries, not on gas. Yeah, I know. Once you have kids, you think through a little more. Well, I hope. Then you pray and embark. Yeah. Yeah, we actually had to find each other and we were lost out there. That's funny. That's funny. I remember that. Anyway, man, I don't think you're as old as me, though, Andre. I'm 42. I don't think you're that old. But that's how old I am anyway. But I do remember that stuff. Anyway, but so keep that in mind as I'm traveling out that direction. So if you're around, I don't know where I'm going to be at. I haven't planned it yet, but we're kind of putting all that together. And, you know, so we're kind of putting that all together. So anyway, we'll see what the Lord does with all that as the weeks move forward. But I'll probably be taking a lot of pictures that I'm going to be using from DC and that for upcoming broadcasts and upcoming PowerPoints and things like that. So stay tuned to that. I'll be using that. That'll be a history trip. I'm also going to be checking out Baptist history while I'm out there. What was the bright lights that were mentioned in the commentaries today? He said he had those bright lights. William Branham said that he had those bright lights that followed him. You know, and psychics saw that there was a light that followed him or whatever, something of that order. Yep. No more gas to ruin God's planet. Gas isn't ruining God's planet. God causes more pollution with one volcano that erupts than any gas could. Anyway. Yeah, I wouldn't run on any hills. Anyway, so pray for us. I'll be doing a lot with that. I'll be doing a Baptist history. I'll be recording and stopping by Baptist history sites along the way and all that good stuff. So lots of things. Lots of things to check out. And then I'm looking forward to checking out and Lord willing that God will bless as we go out there. But that's 3 months from now or so. That's what are we in? August, you know, August, September, October. We're 3 months from now. I got a lot of work to do in the meantime that I'm excited to get through. So you pray for us about all that. And pray for us. You know, it's expensive, even all the tracks and all the stuff that we produce, because we do it ourselves. We try to do it ourselves, but we needed to produce 10,000 tracks as well for the state fair. We have a goal, you know, for that. So that 10,000 is going for the state fair for the people there. There's usually 2.2 million people there. 2.2 million people in that 2 million people in the state fair the whole time. So lots of tracks, lots of time. And we'll be out there 6 days probably. Up to 6 days out there. But that's a ways away, that trip is. You guys can get a hold of me closer to that, and I'll talk about it closer to that and everything like that. You know, but right now, I got to focus on all these evangelistic things that are coming up here in a few weeks. We start with the state fair, and we keep going. So we're going to be busy, folks. The month of October is a month of preaching against Halloween, really preaching the gospel to people that are celebrating Halloween, not really, but part of that is preaching against Halloween. So anyway, we'll have all that to do. Yeah, definitely pray about that. Yes, Jason Sicotti, there's a lot of Baptist history in North Carolina. I've been there, and I've been to South Carolina, and I like them both. So, but there's a lot there for sure. Okay, well, I'm going to get off here, and I hope you learned a lot today. Be praying for us, and we'll see you on Friday. Oh, Friday, I want to talk to you about mass shooters, drugs, and the young American male. I want to talk to you about why these things happen. I want to talk to you about the young American male. Mm-hmm. So we're going to look at that. We're going to talk about that in our Current Affairs Friday. We're going to deal with these mass shooters, and we're going to deal with why this is happening and just what's happened to America, right? I think it's important that we talk about that, that we get an understanding, that God's people understand the times, and they know what happens, all right? So we're going to deal with it on Friday. So you pray for me as I prepare that and everything else I have to do this week. God bless y'all. I love y'all. Take care.